in Acts chapter 15 and to
continue our studies in this book.
Those of you who were with us last week will remember that we saw the priorities for which we are to be prepared to fight. And essentially, there was only one priority that I laid before us, and that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross. Now, down through the centuries, Christians have disagreed over many and varied secondary matters, but they have managed to maintain relationships, and I believe that that is the reality of Christian love. We will not always see things in exactly the same way. We cannot compromise the cross. We cannot add anything to it. We cannot take anything from it. And last week, we saw how the unity of the church was maintained. But while that unity was maintained last week, sadly, before the end of the chapter, we see two men who are greatly used of God actually splitting and going their own separate ways. They've been used to maintain unity, to prevent the split, but actually they themselves suffer a split. There's a verse which Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, and it's this: therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And that is the situation that we've got here. These two men, along with others, had stood clearly for the gospel, and they had prevented people coming in and watering down the glorious truth of the gospel. But in the end, they are men. And it was J.C. Ryle, I actually heard this quotation quoted by Dr. Lloyd-Jones, or I read it in one of his books. And it says this: the best of men are only men at their very best. Patriarchs, prophets, and apostles, martyrs, fathers, reformers, Puritans, all are sinners who need a Savior. Holy, useful, honorable in their place, but sinners after all. And that is the reality of the passage that we have before us tonight. The best of men are only men at their very best. The verse that obviously comes to mind, and which I think we need to concentrate on in this reading tonight, is actually verse 39, where we read, and there rose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. There rose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. How do we cope with such a situation? Well, the immediate answer is we are to learn from it, because we are subject to the same possibility. We can be strong in one situation, and yet, in moments later, we can be incredibly vulnerable. We need to ask questions like, how did it happen? What preceded it? What followed it? Well, I want to show you initially what preceded it. We have two men here, servants of God, and that's how I want you to see Paul and Barnabas. They were men under authority. They were men who worked as a team. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us how Barnabas was converted, but records show that both his ministry and the ministry of Paul suggests that both of them were men born again of the Spirit of God. They were men walking in grace. They were not self-seeking. They were not self-elevating. They lived in a conscious relationship with God. Not only are they under the authority of God, but they are under the authority of local churches. Both of them were counted as apostles, sent ones, men who had been sent out. And in actual fact, they were sent by a number of different churches. In this particular instance, we find that they have been sent out by the church in Antioch. And we read about that last week in verses 2 and 3. The problem had arisen. Paul and Barnabas had confronted the false teachers. And then the leaders, the elders of the church in Antioch, say to Paul and Barnabas and to other men, you are to go. Acts 15:2, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. They were under the authority of the church at Antioch. They were under the authority of the Jerusalem gathering. This group of people who had gathered in Jerusalem in order to discuss this situation. We read in verse 22, that it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And when they had taken this authority, they then gathered the church together, as we were reading in verse 30 tonight. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation, they delivered the letter. One church sends them, they go to another church, they live under the authority of that church. We are not a group of individual, isolated Christians. The strength of the church is in our unity and in our gathering together, in our working together. Paul and Barnabas, with all of their authority, were under authority, under the authority of other people. They were men of the word. We read in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Their ministry was totally word-driven, Bible-driven, the word of God. Now, they only had the Old Testament compared to us. They were living in a day when the oral teachings of Christ had been handed down to them, but they'd still not been written. They were in a situation where the apostles were beginning to write letters, but again, the letters of the New Testament had not been brought together. But they went out and they preached the word of the Lord. They preached God's word, not their own ideas, not their own preferences. And they were not only men of the inspired word, but they accepted the authority of the apostles and of the elders. And we read in verse 30 that they delivered the letter. Again, they were committed to getting the word of God across in their day and generation. And not only did they concentrate on the word as we have it in the Bible, but they concentrated on words. People often say, oh, words were not enough in that situation. But notice what is said in verse 32 about their ministry. They encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. I want us to be careful and consider an important lesson here, that we must never be more spiritual than the scriptures are. And when we say words were not sufficient, have you considered what we're saying? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. When God created this world, we are told, and God said, let there be light. What are we saying? That the word and words are the way that God chooses to work. In Hebrews 11, we read, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. So we have these men who are men under authority. They are men under the word, but they are also caring men. And we're told that having been sent out by the church in Jerusalem to sort out the problem that we were looking at last week, on their journey, they encouraged different churches. And in verse 32, we are told that they strengthened the brothers with many words. And they had time for people. They were never too busy. They'd not forgotten the churches that they had planted. And it's easy, isn't it? As we move on in life, perhaps many of us have moved to different locations and been parts of different churches. Do we remember the churches that we once worshipped with in the same way? But Paul and Barnabas cared about these churches. And so we read in verse 36, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. And the facts are, friends, to have men under authority, men of the word, men who cared, could you wish for anything better? Could you wish to have a better approach in your own life? We would say, you know, these men are unique, but what happened? They've got this focus. Let's return and visit the brothers in every city and see how they are. They want to encourage them. They want to strengthen them. But verse 39 tells us that there was this sharp division which arose, a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. We've seen them as a team. We have seen them as men under God. I now want to focus on this drastic division. Let's look at the individual men. First of all, let's look at Barnabas. Having mooted, raised the idea, Barnabas, in verse 37, wanted to take with them John called Mark. And I want to hold before you tonight a passionate man, a man of compassion. Now, we have to admit that Barnabas had a family connection here. And we are told in Colossians 4 that Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. And you might say, oh, well, it was nepotism. You know, he wanted to keep in with the family. But no, I believe that there was more to this. He realized that John Mark, we're told back in chapter 13, that when they were in Pamphylia, things got difficult. And he wanted to... He actually left them, and Barnabas somehow understood what this young man was going through. Paul, when he had been rejected by the church in Jerusalem, actually benefited from Paul's compassion, because Paul went to the church in Jerusalem, not Paul, Barnabas went to the church in Jerusalem, and said to them, look, this man has been truly converted. And he stood up for him. And in Barnabas, we have a passionate man, a man who feels and understands. Today, perhaps, we might call him a touchy-feely man. because he was quite emotional. But he cared about people. And friends, this characteristic is so easily lost in the defense of the truth. It's the principle of the matter. Now, I agree in principles. And we must not compromise the truth, as we were seeing last week. But there is a place for us understanding the feelings of people, knowing how they hurt. He knew that John Mark had made mistakes, but he was willing to encourage him again. So that's Barnabas. When we look at Paul, I want to see him as a principled man. Verse 38 tells us Paul's side of the situation. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. The word withdrawn is actually a very strong word. It means departed or deserted, abandoned them. You remember that ship going, that cruise ship going aground off Italy a couple of years ago? People were horrified that the captain was the first one off the ship. That's the idea behind this word. The going was tough. And what did John Mark do as a young man? Did he say there, I'm with you? No, he was away. So why does Paul say that he doesn't want him to go? Because, friends, the Christian life demands that we persevere. The Lord Jesus Christ warned that gospel work, the work of the church, will be challenging, and he has encouraged all of us to persevere. Matthew 10, the words of the Lord, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So you've got this passionate man, you've got this principled man, and they come together. And we see the way the difference is described in verse 39. There arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Now, in verse 2, when we were dealing with the earlier problem, we read that there was no small dissension. And this characteristic of standing on principle actually had been so useful in that situation. But here, it becomes divisive. Notice the word, a sharp disagreement. It literally means jabbing at or stabbing, making cuts. And we might use the expression, he kept on needling him. He kept on provoking him. Neither of these men was going to give ground in the tragedy, so that they separated from each other. Now, if you want to understand the feeling that was here, it wasn't simply two men saying, okay, well, you go your way, I'll go my way. No, the word that is used here for separation is the same word that is used for divorce in Mark chapter 10. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And in a way, there is a lesson here for us in the work of the church. It isn't a case of, oh, well, I don't like the way things are done there, or this is my preference. The church is described as the bride of Christ. He has paid the bride price by his death on Calvary. I'm not the bride of Christ. You are not the bride of Christ. You are not the bride of Christ. You are not the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Paul and Barnabas were a team under Christ, under God, under the authority of the Holy Spirit. So when these men came to the point where one says A and the other says B, where one says, let's take him, and the other says, no, he has got lessons to learn, he has let us down, a divorce takes place. Divorce is never simple. It is always a tragedy and always hurtful. I've described the message, or entitled the message tonight, A Drastic Division. And that's what this second point is in the message tonight. This was a drastic division between men, greatly used of God. And we've got to be so, so careful. Stand for principle, but don't forget the compassion and the passion that was a part of Barnabas. The last thing, the last section of this message tonight, I've entitled Sinners in the Hands of God. It could be God's Sovereign Purposes. Because this wasn't the end of the story. If you read the chapter here, we're told Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, going in one direction. Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. I want to show you three men. The first one is a forgotten man. And when I make these points under this last heading, I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us who was in the right and who was in the wrong. And I'm not going to say who was right and who was wrong. But what I am going to tell you is what the Holy Spirit tells us in this passage and in other passages of Scripture. We have a forgotten man. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Full stop. End of the story. You will find references to Barnabas in some of the letters, but you never hear of his ministry again. God's purposes, they are divided. I don't know why God tells us no more about Barnabas. But from the record of Scripture, there was nothing that happened in the life of Barnabas that needed to be recorded for the building up of the man of God. Because all Scripture is inspired by God, so that the man of God might be complete. So a sinner is in the hands of God. We've got a forgotten man. I then want to show you a forgiven man. Paul and Mark were somehow reconciled. I asked Isaac to read tonight from 2 Timothy 4 because it mentions John Mark. But we're also told about him in Colossians 4. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Here, Paul is saying, I don't want anything more to do with him at this point. But in a later letter to a church that he was not used to found, he says, look, when Mark comes, welcome him. Give him time, give him space. And then in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, Isaac read for us, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Whatever happened here in Acts 15, at this time, they were able to leave with God. And again,
God is silent. He doesn't tell us how these men were reconciled. When did this happen? We don't know. But it did happen. And the work of God proceeded. This man of principle, who was prepared to fight these false teachers who came down from Jerusalem, who was prepared to stand against this young man and to tell him, you're out of line, somehow, at a later date, is able to work with this young man. And there are times, friends, when we have to leave situations with God. If it's the gospel that is under threat, no compromise. But where there are relationships, where there are differences of opinion, there has to be grace. And what do we see in John Mark? We see a forgiven man. And isn't this the essence of the gospel? That even as Christians, we all fail and we need forgiveness. And then the third man is obviously Paul. He was a man used of God. All we're told in this situation is that they departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Now it would seem that the church supported Paul in this, and again they sent them off with their blessing, and they went through Syria and Cilicia strengthening the churches. Sadly, church history tells us clearly that divisions of personality, divisions of secondary issues, can be the undoing of the work of the church. But we see a great work of grace here. God continues to use this man, Paul, for the glory of God, to the furthering of the gospel. Notice that he doesn't go out. We're not told that he went out primarily on this missionary trip to evangelize, but he went out to strengthen the church, to build up those who were being tested, to draw back those who were drifting away. The essential thing to see is that although men had divided, God still built his church. And friends, we're living in a day when the gospel is being compromised on many, many sides. When sadly, Christians, who I have no doubt are born again of the Spirit of God, are disagreeing with each other. So, how are we to apply this in our lives? Are we to stick to our guns irrespective of the effect that it will have on others? No, I don't believe that we are. Because this passage gives us some very practical advice. If we've received a commission from God, then there has to be a willingness to keep going, even though there is opposition. And that's what we see, in a way, in both Paul and Barnabas. And our Lord had to do that. He was opposed from the cradle to the cross. But a characteristic that is helpful in one context can be totally destructive in another. Paul and Barnabas, their strength of character at the beginning of this chapter was, in effect, the salvation of the church, the protection of the gospel. But the characteristics at the end of the chapter were destructive. I want to leave you, not with words from here, or my own words. I want to leave you with words that Paul wrote to the Romans. Many of us will say, well, that's the way I am. You've got to accept me as I am. But Paul says this, the Holy Spirit says this, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. May God help each of us to do that. Amen.